Blog Talk Radio.
עוד איך אברך כבה של לבבי, הו 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 ברצלונה. לך הבאתי מתן שירתי, נקבלי זאת שורתי, ונזכרי את קולי
Mamma Mia, blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we're blessed to stay alive in this most existential of eternal yet humanly mundane moments. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in this blessed world. Baruch Hashem. Blessed is our Creator. Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family experience. 7.7 billion human beings, all anointed, never to be disappointed with the divine image. With Creator's help, we're now broadcasting on January 28th, 2018. It's 5:01 in the Holy Land, according to Sputnik, 10:01 a.m. live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. equals the USA, Unified Soul Actualization. Program content will feature being in discussion with founder and CEO at Ezra Lanusim, Israel Amuta Yafo Bat Yekatia. To learn more about Ezra Lanusim, you're most welcome to follow more and to learn more about this wonderful organization. But now they have their own website, which we'll be talking about in today's program, BNEIANOUSIM.org. And we were just listening. Very high. A little glitch. I kind of jumped the sound to from Barcelona, Joe Amar. As well, there's also another exciting development in the good ship B'nai Anusim, that now there's a website called www.artisancrate.com, and hopefully we'll have a representative of this company to come on and talk about this wonderful partnership that has now merged between artisancrate.com and B'nai Anusim. Our call-in number will be 347-838-8669. Meanwhile, may the Creator bless and protect you and our loved ones. And before I make my opening statement, a little more formalized than what I just did, we'll bring on CEO Ezra Lanusim, Israel Amuta, courageous woman of valor, Yafa Batidacosta. Good afternoon, Yafa. Oh, and I forgot to bring her in. Oh, boy, oh, boy. good afternoon, Yafa. Oh, I didn't drink enough coffee this morning. Sorry about that.
Oh. Okay, well, you can sort of get that on. I guess there's coffee in there. I'm just so excited about this show. I know you're going to do a little intro, so I don't want to get into it just yet. But we do have a brand new website. We worked on it for many months, and it was finally launched in the public January 15th. So we're going to talk about that. And we are going to talk about our fundraising efforts and what's been going on and what our plans are. And we're going to talk about the rallies, of course. We always talk about the rallies. Coming up in April 19th on Israel Independence Day. And, of course, we are going to talk about what you just mentioned, Artisan Crate, where people can subscribe and get products from Israel and support these Israeli entrepreneurs from all over the country and help Israel. It's a great way to do it. And they also will be supporting us to help the B'nai Anusim. So it's just going to be really exciting to talk about all of this.
Yes. Thank you, Yafabatia. And with that being said, I just want to bring out that, blessed souls, this is a difficult process for the B'nai Anusim, individuals, men, women, adolescents, the children of families who were literally and spiritually, cognitively, emotionally ripped away from their heritage more than 500 years ago. But we have a couple of teachings that I think will offer some respite, some comfort. First of all, our great commentator, who lived in the country a little bit north of Spain, where the Inquisition started, unfortunately, was Rashi. And Rashi had a basic axiomatic teaching, which really, if we try to remember, never forget, it will help us get over our little hurdles and our little tests in life. And something I want to share with those who are of the B'nai Nusim living experience, all beginnings are difficult. So with that being said, that we understand that it's not an easy process actually makes the process a little bit easier, especially when those of us who have not gone through that type of historical five-century-plus trauma, that hopefully we will be empathetic and sympathetic, and we will go on the way of as Moshe Rabbeinu does, the mighty Levite prophet Moses does in this week's Torah portion, where he actually humbles himself before his father-in-law, who actually at one point in time had served all the idolatries of his time and rejected them, to actually become a member of the nation of Israel. Now, with that being said, once we can help these individuals come back, those who really want to walk those steps, we are assured from a teaching from a great sage, a tzaddik who lived in Spain by the name of Ramban for the majority of his life, I believe, from his letter for the ages, he writes, then then the spirit of God's presence will rest upon you, as will the splendor of his glory. You will live the life of the world to come. And in the commentaries, this is a most intriguing statement in Ramban's letter, because the author holds a glimpse of an entirely new level of life. And that's what we're trying to assist the B'nai Nusim experience, an entirely new level of life, an otherworldly existence, which actually has to be experienced here on this physical earth. Meaning, we can empower other people, blessed souls, if we want to help other people, the B'nai Nusim, to experience the world to come in this world. In Psalms 27:4, King David writes, one thing I ask of Creator, Hashem, God, I seek, that I dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. And according to another tzaddik, another great sage of Israel who lived in Spain himself, Rambam, and in the Laws of Return, the house of Hashem does not refer to a place in this world, but rather to the bliss of the world to come. And a sage who lived in America, Harav Mordechai Gifter, may rest in peace, if this phrase refers to the hereafter, how can David, King David, ask to dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of his life during his mortal existence? So Rav Gifter cites this as a proof to the words in the Ramban's letter that one who perfects his personality can experience the delight in the world to come during his lifetime as well. So bless us, I implore anyone listening in the 37 states of the United States of America, Turtle Island, with other 37 countries, the regions of the world who are listening live, or will hear in this archive version of this presentation, led by a real Torah activist and human actualization potential specialist, Yaffa Bati DaCostia. Now, with the individual will be speaking from artistandcreate.com, let's give our ears and our heart to the words that will be spoken today, to engage in a multi-pronged process of helping other human beings get past their difficulties and actually taste the wonder of the world to come in this physical world. Yaffa, I think I had another sip when you were talking, so I feel a little more charged in my presentation.
No worries, Don. We have a whole hour.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to mention first about this new website that we have so that people can go to the website. By the way, it's in English and four other languages. Five other languages.
Beautiful.
Let me see. Down at the bottom of every page, there's a button that people can use to select which language they want. It's
right.
Google Translator that's being used. So it comes up in English, but also it's available in Hebrew, in Spanish, in Portuguese, Italian, and French, because those are the languages of the countries where these people, the B'nai Nusim predominantly, are living today. There are some in Europe, in France and Scandinavian countries, in Germany perhaps, but they're on the much fewer side, okay? And also many people in Western Europe also speak English, so But then the Italians are there. We have a lot of people in Sicily and Italy, and France, of course, French is there. So the other countries where the B'nai Anisim live, again, most of them would probably also speak English. So we were trying to cover all the bases there. And, of course, Hebrew, because we have people here in Israel who are very interested in this cause. Mm-hmm. It's a social justice issue, as we've talked in the past. So the website, in order for people to get on it, is B'naiAnisim.org, and I'll spell it, and we'll do this a few times in the program here, B-N-E-I for B'nai, and then Anusim is A-N-O-U-S-I-M, like Mary, .org, O-R-G. And we've got sections there on the leadership of this organization, Ezra Lanusim, the Beit Din process, talking about activism. These are all the sections on the website, talking about the rallies coming up, which I'm going to get back to in a minute, talking about alliances with other organizations and corporate sponsors, which is the program that I'm working on, actually, talking about the B'nai Anisim communities. And we're going to add more and more information on that page as we go along. There's a section on apply and a questionnaire. So people can apply to register with us for our help to them. And there's a questionnaire for them to fill out. There's a contact us section. We've already had people contacting us, even though the website hasn't been available until January 15th was when it was finally launched in the public domain, and there's a web store, okay? So those are all the major sections of this brand new website. Oh, there's an about page. There's a lot of sections here. So I just wanted to encourage people to get up on the website and look around and give us feedback, obviously. And if they want to contact us, they have questions or comments, they can use the Contact Us section, and they will be answered fairly quickly. We're really on it. We have one section of the web store that we're going to talk about today. We have David Mark waiting to be brought on the program in a little bit of time. He's going to talk about this new thing that we're going. It's an alliance relationship with this organization called Artisan Crate, A Taste of Israel. So we'll talk about that. But I want to go back to the rallies and just remind people that the B'nai Anisim have been doing pro-Israel rallies for the past couple of years. This is our third year in a row that we're going to be doing these pro-Israel rallies all over the world in countries and cities where the B'nai Anisim live. And the next one is April 19th, which is, again, Israel Independence Day, excuse me, and it's really exciting because every year there's more people joining and there's more cities on the list. We're hoping to have a minimum of 70 cities represented this year. Could have more, but at least 70, because this is the 70th anniversary of the State of Israel. So I'm very, very excited about that. We'll talk about that more over the next few weeks. Okay, Don?
Sure. I just want to mention, Yefa Batya, that David is on the line. So whenever you're ready to call him on, I'll be happy to bring him on.
Okay, great. Okay, good. Well, did you want to say anything about the website before we leave the website?
Well, yes. I want to share with our listeners around the world that I had the merit to look at it earlier in the week. And first of all, it's extremely user-friendly. It's self-explanatory. And one of the things that I really, really appreciate, because this is always, when Yavobadi speaks, she speaks with a crystal clear clarity, and it's really reflected in this website, meaning when you go to, there's a section called Beit Din, B-E-I-T-D-I-N, there are three columns which talk about return, conversion, and marriage, and basically a very, very terse definition of these three categories, which are all the possible scenarios that can be for the B'nai Anisim, can be applicable to them. And from there, really, you're really empowered if this is something that, whether you're the B'nai Nusim or you want to get involved in this social activist actualization empowerment movement, this really should whet your appetite to want to learn more about all three processes. Because, again, before I even started to interact with Yafi Batya, I guess it's almost 2 years ago, I think, Yafi Batya, that I really, really, and I'm still a novice, I have to admit, but at least my imaginative perception was taken away from me of what this phenomena within the nation of Israel is about. I'd like to give an allegory, and then I'll turn the mic back to Yafi Batya. You know, in Europe in the 19th century, when the train was starting to make its way into the inroads of the hamlets of Eastern Europe and Russia, the peasants thought that what was driving the train were horses in the engine. It wasn't until they were shown what combustion, principles of combustion and coal and whatever is used for the fuel, that's what drove the train. And similarly, I saw earlier this last week an anthropological film about when the first pygmies were brought from Africa to the West to interact with Westerners. And although the pygmies were aware of boating crafts, canoes or whatever they used in the rivers and lakes in Africa, when they got on the boat, they were wondering, how was this boat able to go against the force of the ocean? Well, the person who was the anthropologist who could speak their language spoke to them, and they asked him, how is this boat moving? Are there hippopotamuses at the bottom of the boat? And then he took them to the belly of the boat and showed them how the boat worked. So people might be looking at Yafi Batya in the same way, like the whole B'nai Nusim movement. It's certainly not horses running the movement. It is not hippopotamuses running the movement. It's like the allegory I gave to my son when learning with him yesterday, that a person can take a blood test, and you can get 50 readings on the calcium and the salt and the creatinine levels and the LDL, the HDL cholesterol, but there's one thing the blood test cannot fathom and pick up on: the soul which is in the blood. And there's a certain soul power, a solar power that's driving this movement that should be able to overcome, with God's blessings, of course, any difficulties which the Nusim have faced, may face in the future, and are currently facing. So I just want to throw that into the mix.
Well, right, exactly. And a lot of it is the activism, okay, of people, of normal, everyday people, and not just the B'nai Nusim, because our organization is made up of B'nai Nusim as well as former Anusim who have come, fully forward and have done their return or conversion into Judaism, so now are Jews, but they're former B'nai Nusim, and as well as other Jewish people, as well as other non-Jewish people, okay, like B'nai Noach, who are very, very right, supportive of this organization and of what we're doing, like Nativ in Houston, okay, Rod Reuven right, Bryant, who has this organization called Nativ, and he has me on his radio show, The Matrix, no, Beyond the Matrix, excuse me.
Right.
And there are many people in his organization in Houston who are B'nai Nusim as well as B'nai Noach. So that's both. And then we have a partnership with Breslov, with Rav Dror, Kasuto.
Right.
Okay. And people all over the world listen to Rav Dror and his lectures, and we have an alliance with them because, again, many of the people that are listening to his lectures are either B'nai Noach or B'nai Nusim. So we just have all kinds of people involved in this activism, and it's really a move of Hashem. And you can tell it's a move of Hashem because doors are flipping open all the time. People are finding out more and more about us, all the time and wanting to help these people to return. And the quote that I use, which I just find so, when you really think about it and reflect on this, it's so powerful and so empowering, is a verse in our siddur, in our Shacharit morning prayers. Mm-hmm. And I quote it in the website, It's put on the apply page for people who are wanting to apply and register with us and get help from us. And the quote says, "Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who firms man's footsteps." And that's all about the concept of if we take one step in a certain direction because of a choice of will, you know, we all have free will, and a person makes that choice to move closer to Hashem through return, through conversion, you know, whichever process the Beit Din will allow for them on a case-by-case basis, and that we talk about that all throughout the website, that Hashem firms those footsteps. He helps that person along that path that they've chosen, okay? And that's what's really, in my opinion, the driving force in this movement is Hashem, because he wants our people to make this comeback. He wants them to come back, reintegrate, with the Jewish world of today. And so he's the one that's blessing it and causing us to have the successes that we're seeing.
Beautiful.
Incredible. Right.
Yeah. And again, we see that, and again, from this week's Torah portion, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to humble himself and, you know, to his father-in-law. I mean, and his father-in-law, you know, again, was someone who started off life, you know, he was in a very intelligent man, Yisro or Jethro, whatever you want to call him, experienced all the negativity, but, you know, and in his great merit that, you know, when there was a decree against the nation of Israel in Egypt, he did not want to be involved in it. He ran for his life, because anyone who would disagree with the majority opinion in Egypt would certainly lose their life, because it was a kingship, it wasn't a democracy or any other form of governmental administration. And In fact, the Mayim Loaz teaches us that actually when Moses came to Midian, where Yisro lived with his daughters, that because he was dressed as an Egyptian, Yisro thought he was a spy who was maybe coming to kill him, and actually had him imprisoned in a pit for 10 years. So, and yet Moses was able to, and no one, I mean, and myself, they say someone was born by, you know, actually two Jewish parents, why would I not act in a way of trying to help, even on the very molecular level that I am, for people who never did anything wrong to me, but I can hear their cry because I was someone who had my own personal cry as someone returning back to the fold of normative Torah lifestyle. So everything is pointing in the direction towards the empowerment of this group of people who want to be regrafted or be able to breathe the same oxygen that you and I are breathing now, which is the oxygen of Torah and commandments and belief in Hashem and being in fellowship, and as well, you know, to and then take on the responsibility of living this life. And then, you know, this is preparing us, I believe, Yafi Batya, for that great event of Techiyas HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, because this is a spiritual awakening, which is certainly, I think, plowing the way to that great and awesome day.
Oh, absolutely, and it's preparing the way for Mashiach as well. All of the Baal Tshuva movements, all of the Kiruv that's going on in the world, no matter who's preparing for Mashiach, preparing people for the coming of the Mashiach and for his reign and his rule here, including the B'nai Anusim and our comeback, you know, to the Jewish people, reintegrating with the people of our ancestry. So all the Kiruv work and all Baal Tshuva people, you know, this is all a part of that. It's just a very specific part of it, a very specific part of the history of the Jewish people in Spain and Portugal for the Sephardi Jews, okay? So it's specific in that sense, but it's very general in the sense of it's part of all the Kiruv work. So I just want to mention that on our web store, we were going to have it, and we did initially, January 15th, when the website came out first, we had it as a web store that said essentially coming soon, okay? You'll see that on Alliances, corporate sponsors. If you click on that part of the corporate sponsors, which is my work, really, to do the fundraising with corporations, you know, to help us out. Mm-hmm. So that's coming soon. But we originally had the web store is coming soon. And I'm so excited that the first entry in this web store where people will be able to buy these products, and a portion of the money that the company gets, you know, for the sale of these products, it's 10% will go to help the B'nai Amasim. It's another form of fundraising for us. And so this very first one is called Artisan Crate. So I'd like to bring David Mark on and welcome David to the show. Mm-hmm. And David's going to explain all about Artisan Crate to us. So, David, are you there?
Hi, Linda.
David Mark, hi, how are you?
Thank God, pretty well. Thank you for having me on.
David, thank you for coming on today.
So you need to be a little bit louder, David.
Yes.
Okay, not a problem.
Are you on speakerphone, David?
I am not.
Okay.
Better?
Speak again, please.
No, it still needs to be louder. Maybe you could put your mouth closer.
Is this okay now?
Ah, much better.
Well, it's doable.
Okay. I'll try to speak. I'm also calling from Israel, so a lot of that I think that. So I'm a kind of artisan critic. I do a lot of work, activist work here in Israel, and I have a lot of friends, a lot of producers in terms of food products around Israel. And it came to me that the best way to support these sort of small producers is to connect the people that love Israel to the products that they make. And so we came up with this idea.
Right.
Surprise boxes and crates are very, very in now. And we came up with this idea to simply every month subscribe to this product and get an assortment of high-quality food products that are made here in Israel and right to your door. So the next step was I decided to give organizations like B'nai Amasim the ability to take this product and connect it to people and then raise money in a very simple monthly way for the organizations. I personally have been a big fan of the B'nai Amasim movement for a long time. I've done outreach with Lost Tribes and different organizations, and I personally feel the B'nai Amasim always get a kind of a second look. Everybody's really cool and into Lost Tribes, and it's an important thing. For some strange reason, the easiest group to kind of like bring back, we sort of like look the other way. I don't know why that is in our psyche. Maybe you guys have a better idea, but I personally find the story of the B'nai Amasim very, very compelling. It's very obvious to me. I actually happened to have heard Yafes speak years ago in Mariah. I was there for Shabbat. And it was right in the beginning, Yafes, that you were speaking there. It really touched me a long time ago. And it kind of never left. And so all of a sudden now, years later, we see the movement's really kind of picking up, but not taking the ball like Yafes is and kind of pushing it forward. So I personally felt that we could really come in. And so I contacted Yafes with this ability to sort of say, hey, take this subscription that really connects Israel to people, and let's see if you can use it in a way that really helps you fundraise this amazing organization.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Can you tell us what some of the products are like in this crate that people can order on a monthly subscription, and what the Heksher is like also on some of these products?
Sure. One product I'd like to showcase is Holy Cacao Chocolate. I'm also friends with the owner. I have to know my wife actually works there. And they're tremendous Beat the Bar. They're the only Beat the Bar high-quality chocolate maker in Israel. They're tremendous. They're 70% bars. They won an international competition on their 100% bar. So these are high-quality. Usually go for $10 a bar. Would be going for $10 a bar in the United States. And we include that in there. The Hex, they have a Hexer, and we have honey from we have a ginger brew beer that we like. Microbrews now, and this is a very hot item. We've over 22 microbrews in Israel, so it's a very cool item to sort of get. It's very high quality, and we have different teas, and we have coffee, and all sorts of stuff. We do send wine once in a while. It's not something, because the size of the package, that we can fit in easily, so we have to wait for them to make a smaller bottle. But the Hexers generally are compatible with OU. The ones that can sell in America have OU, and the ones that don't have a high quality Hexers here.
Okay. So, Don, did you have any questions?
So, I'm sorry, when you said so the OU is the Hexer on the majority of the products? Or
For sure the chocolate is. The honey tends not to be sold in America, strictly Israel, so they're going to have an Israeli Hexer. But I'm pretty sure it's there's no we're not seeing wheat over, so there's no issues in terms of standard
Okay. Okay, fine. So Yafabad, do you want to continue with the interview?
Well, the thing I wanted to know, David, is where are these entrepreneurs located in Israel? Are they all over the country, or are they in the territories, or a combination of both? Where do they have their companies located?
Well, the bulk of them will tend to be coming from the territories, because that's just sort of where the kind of creative spirit happens. The big pioneering kind of spirit tends to be that. But we specifically didn't want to see the political agenda on purpose. So we're taking people from Jerusalem. A lot of the micro brewers are not from over the Green Line. They're from Kat, or they're from Beit Shemesh. So we made it sure that we really get around a well-rounded kind of group of people. Happens to be the chocolate makers live over the Green Line, the honey makers live over the Green Line, but it wasn't on purpose. We didn't do that. This happened to be a natural organic outgrowth of this type of kind of creative spirit is coming from over the Green Line. But a lot of them are coming from Jerusalem as well and other places.
Right, right. And can you talk a little bit about this whole endeavor as a way of answering in a very concrete way the whole BDS movement that's out there?
We didn't specifically, the groups focused on it, we didn't specifically do that, but it is in the background, obviously. A variety of reasons you don't want to see that on the site, but it's obvious that that's what's going on in the background, that a lot of these small producers, less in America, but especially in Europe, are going to be targeted and not allowed. And in fact, there's a lot of places in Europe that won't order anything from Israel. So,
right.
So it doesn't affect them. It just happens to be that we obviously didn't focus on that 100%, but it's obvious in the background, if you're selling producers, small producers, is that don't have the ability to, a lot of times, by the way, just a side point, small producers over the Green Line will have two offices to get around. So if an office, let's just say, for example, in Beit Shemesh, it's not in the territories, but let's just say in the Shomron. But if you're under that, well, the European Union has figured that out. And so they still label them and things like that. So this is a very nice way to get around that, and it definitely helps these producers out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And can you tell me how big these companies are, or small? I mean, are they one and two person companies in terms of the numbers of employees? Are they that small, or are they more like a dozen or two dozen employees? I'm just trying to get a sense of, you know, how big the company is, how long they've been in business, you know, that kind of idea.
Okay. Well, some examples that I was sitting there and having a I said, "Well, where's your factory?" He said, "To my apartment. I have the rabbi come over. It gives me the kashrut stamp. That's where everything's stored. It's the big apartment. But it's only him right now. That's how small it is. Some of these have one people, and talking about that, I'm not sure that." So it can fluctuate. Far has been around, so is the chocolate factory, but I was saying the function is not reach last. So just getting started.
Yeah, Don, can you take over the interview, because I'm not hearing David very well. It's kind of garbled. Are you hearing him okay?
Yeah, it's are you when you're talking, David, are you walking from like one place to another? Are you just sitting in one place?
the single.
Now, but okay. So, right now I just heard you clearly. So, I don't know, you know, how close the you're talking on a cell phone or a landline. David, are you on a landline or a cell phone? Not even we seem to be losing him, Yafabatia.
Yeah, I think so. It might be from a cell phone. I'm not sure.
Right. Generally speaking, like, yeah. David, maybe can you try to call back if you have access to a landline? I mean, I'm calling from a landline. That's why I believe I can be heard more clearly. I've used my cell phone in the past, and it's not as there's something not as clear. And of course, he's calling from. Yeah. So he dropped. Hopefully, he'll call back in. So, you know, I personally am very happy to. If about you, I'm very happy to. Again, I call the molecular effort because it's not much more than that to make people aware of the fact that they can participate in empowering Jews living in the Holy Land to help them live in the land. I mean, you know, there was once upon a time, in the time, I think there was a Rav Sonnenfeld, Olav Shalom, who was one of the chief, I think he was the chief Rav of Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, where he gave a halachic response that Jews living in the diaspora have a obligation to support Jews living in the Holy Land, as if the Jews at the time, and we're talking about like the 1920s and earlier, I don't know if he made it into the 1930s or something himself, that Jews had a halachic responsibility to help keep our brothers and sisters living, and you know, to ask them to give charity and to tithe out money to the Holy Land for Jews living there. But today, with entrepreneurship and the you know, the advent of the internet, and just like we're doing right now, it doesn't have to be charitable. The greatest form of charity is actually empowering another person with their panasa, with their livelihood. So I'm very happy to have some sort of little merit. Yes, people, I mean, again, until your organization is basically what we would call a non-for-profit. So non-for-profit is something for the public good. So, you know, there's no estimation of how much good is going to be accomplished until all the good is actualized through an organization like yours. Those are just my thoughts coming out of the top of my head and hopefully emanating from the depth of my heart.
Yeah, no, it's true. All the nonprofits, whatever they're doing is for the public good. But these entrepreneurial small businesses are also for the Israeli good in terms of building the economy. You know, when people come here on Aliyah, sometimes they worry or are concerned, you know, less strong, about finding work here, especially if they don't have the Hebrew language. Thank God I had my own company as a consultant, as a business
right.
management consultant for years. And I was very used to working for companies as an independent contractor, okay, and had a whole range of ways and methods of finding companies that were looking for the kind of people like myself with the kinds of skills that I have. So when I first came here on Aliyah over 10 years ago, it was not even a hiccup in terms of my parnasa, because I worked from home for American companies, and I still do that today, to this day. And I was never out of work. You know, I was so
right.
blessed. So, and people who have that skill and have that ability to find their own clients or customers and, you know, do a business here in Israel with companies in America, it's a great way. And to the point where I did go to Ulpan and I spent 6 months, you know, learning Hebrew, but I don't use it a lot because all of my work is in English with these American companies and calling American companies in the United
right.
States. And
I
live in
I'm
a neighborhood
not...
that's very Anglo, it's called. And, you know, even the McCullough, the little shops near us, you know, that
right.
sell groceries and stuff, the people speak English. So, but, you know, I like to speak Hebrew and I like to, you know, learn more, but I don't have a lot of time for that. and I really
right.
don't need it. But for other people who come here to Israel, it is more a concern of what kind of work will they do and will they be able
right.
to find a job. But the point is the economy in Israel is booming. The unemployment rate here is extremely low. And God just keeps blessing this country and the people who come here on Aliyah. And part of the way this country is blessed is just what you were talking about, is people from the United States, you know, either through charity or through helping people find Parnassa or in supporting these small entrepreneurial businesses all over Israel. And I'm sure that, you know, this is only recent, this Artisan Crate project, and they'll have other products and other small businesses that will come alongside and join the project and get the benefit of people, you know, buying these products. So I just think it's fantastic. I think it's wonderful.
Okay. We have David back on. Hopefully we have a better connection. David, I'm sorry for having making you wait while we were talking.
Not a problem. Is it better?
Yes.
Are
you on a landline now?
I'm on a landline now.
Okay. Generally speaking, a landline is a much clearer connection to this form of internet radio broadcasting. So thank you for coming back on.
Not a problem.
And as I was telling Yaffa, I don't know if you heard, I am very happy to promote this type of commerce to empower our brothers and sisters, someone like yourself, and that really it's like, you know, there's a teaching, well, the oceans separate the continents, but also at the same time, the oceans are connecting the continents because you can't get from one continent to the other. And here I am, say, like in Brooklyn, New York, and there you are. I'm sorry, I forgot if you mentioned where you are in Eretz Yisrael. I know Yaffa Batya is in Yerushalayim. This is a wonderful opportunity to use technology, to upgrade technology. When I mean upgrade, meaning to use it for its ultimate purpose, to do kindness and acts of brotherly and sisterly love internationally with merely just punching in 9 or 10 or 12, you know, numbers. So, again, I congratulate you for your efforts to work with other individuals and Mazel Tov on the fact that you're doing this and to making people aware that they can invest their dollars in a very, you know, I say this in a very tongue-in-cheek way. I'm an elitist. Why? Because if there's two coffees, instant coffees at my local synagogue, I choose for the elite coffee. Because I'd rather drink the coffee where I started out life with my wife. And I remember the smell of the coffee emanating from the chimney of Elite, the Elite factory, at least when I was living there, was in Tzfas. So the idea of you know, you are what you eat. The more you eat from the produce of the Holy Land, you get a little holier, I think.
I think so. I think that's part of it. You know, like part of what we're trying to do is really using that sort of, for lack of a better word, visceral sort of instinct a person has, and uplifting it and raising the sparks in these types of things that people kind of interact with Eretz Yisrael through what they're eating. It's exactly what we're trying to do with this project.
Beautiful. Yaffa, you want to take over?
I don't know. David, what else do you want to say about the products, or you want to talk about the pricing or the fact that, you know, this project is going to help the banana seam and to what extent? You know, can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think it's important to understand that is there every box that is bought by way of a show like this or other things that Yaffa is going to be doing with us, is 10% of each box, which is quite a bit of money when you add it up, over a lot of boxes every month, not just one time, but every month is going to help their organization. It's very, very, very important. It's not something that it's a small thing. So it's not just going to us to be able to manage the boxes and have aggregate the products and send them to the subscribers. 10% is a large chunk when you're talking about all the other expenses going to an organization like Banana Anusim. And for a small organization, so to speak, like Banana Anusim, it's very important because it doesn't take a lot, right, Bhatti, to actually like push this forward if enough people kind of jump in. So that's why this is important in terms of not just for the producers, but because these types of this type of subscription product can really create a recurring revenue for a small organization like Bananasin, then it's just that much more important.
Right, exactly. So there are multiple purposes for this.
That's right.
One is to receive these products, of course, from Israel. And second is to support these companies in Israel and the people who work for them, of course, for their parnasa. And third, to help the B'nai Anusim, because, as you said, every single box, a portion of that, it's 10% of the monies, you know, for these products will be given to this organization to bless the B'nai Anusim, help them, you know, buying siddurim for them, buying, you know, Torah scrolls for these emerging communities, helping the rabbis with their travel expenses to go, for the Beit Din, you know, to these communities to finalize their process of return or conversion. I mean, these people just have so many needs out there, and so we need a lot of help to help the B'nai Anusim. So this is really a dynamic way to do it and serve multiple purposes all at the same time. It's so exciting.
It is. It is. It's very important. It's just a side point. I mean, I'll let you guys give out an interview, but something connected to the B'nai Anusim, I know that you and I were talking about the other day, just there are communities or congregations that now, because the movement is really growing, that have this influx of B'nai Anusim looking to join these congregations. And we're talking about the fact that, you know, some of the older congregations are having a hard time, just I think from an educational standpoint, about this sort of kind of occurrence taking place. And, you know, in my mind, the more power, more, money behind the B'nai Anusim, the more just on a simple level, the more educational outreach that can be done to the mainstream, so to speak, Jewish community to understand what's really going on. That all takes a lot of energy, a lot of time, and a lot of money to get done. And if we can all kind of chip in our own ways and kind of push that forward, that's just such an important goal.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody can have a piece of that action.
Earlier in the week, you sent me a link about the, you know, 50 years ago, I guess it was, with the Jews in Russia. You know, I mean, that movement started, what? It probably started as conversations by perhaps people who were able to get out of the USSR and talking with people with influence or people who could verbalize the you know, the pain and the struggle and as well the hope of the Jews coming out of Russia. And I think that this movement is not going to take 40 years to be actualized. I think that because of modern communications, and everything's out on the net, and hopefully you're going to have a lot of media coverage, which will be shareable on Facebook or other social, whatever networks are. I think this movement is going to move exponentially quicker, and also to people accessing your website, it will allow the efforts of David and the people he is collaborating with also to spread their message, spread their products. And again, I think that they're just multiple. We're in the era of quantum physics. I mean, determinism is through. Everyone has shown, you know, whether in the laboratory or philosophically, things can exponentially jump and expand within the blink of an eye. And that's the exciting point, that we're moving step by step, taking baby steps. David's taking his baby steps. You're taking your baby steps. I'm taking mine. But really, the steps that Hashem is directing is preparing us for going to be leaps in awareness and leaps and people all of a sudden wanting to get involved in this movement. You're taking a take on this matter, Yafa Bhatia. And David, you're welcome to chime in as well.
Technology is, you know, a gift from Hashem, and, you know, it can be used better for good or for bad. But clearly, using it for this sort of mega purposes, which is really redemption oriented, it's just tremendously powerful. And this is just all sort of like, I like how you put it down in these micro steps, but, you know, Hashem is really kind of orchestrating the show. So in many ways, we look at it as a microcosm, these micro steps in our own little lives, but in a big way that it's jumping forward.
Right, exactly. Now, the article that you just mentioned, Dawn, I have it on my Facebook page if anyone wants to read the article about the Soviet Jewry movement in America. And it was involved in the 70s and the 80s and, of course, the 90s and on. But it did start small. And it started with only one or two organizations, or maybe one organization started trying to raise the awareness of people about the plight of Soviet Jewry, and that they weren't allowed to leave the USSR, which is what it was at the time, Soviet Republic. And this is what's happening in Latin America today. Our people are held captive there, and they're not really allowed to leave and come to Israel because they don't have people to help them with this process of making a return or conversion, if that's what it needs to take, because they don't have, you know, enough evidences of their maternal descent from Spanish and Portuguese Jews. So whatever the halakhic process is, and we do use a halakhic process, and our rabbis are, you know, Orthodox rabbis, and they just don't have the support for this in Latin America and Brazil and all the countries of South America, Central America, the Caribbean, and Mexico. And so we are having to bring rabbis into these emerging communities from outside of those countries, which we're doing, okay, and, of course, all the expenses that are associated with that. So it's very similar to the Soviet Jewry movement, where it started small, and a bunch of people were trying to raise awareness, and then it grew bigger and bigger. And I don't know if this is where we get the expression of jumping on the bandwagon. I'm not sure where that comes from. But that definitely is what happened with the Soviet Jewry movement. More and more people over the years were jumping on the bandwagon. The rallies for Soviet Jewry got larger and larger every year. I don't know if that they were doing it on any particular day, but they were doing rallies all over America, because this was a movement mainly in the United States. And eventually they were successful. And so it's a very similar thing, not exactly the same, you know, but the Soviet Jews were held captive in the USSR, and our people, for the most part, not in the United States, our people can come to certain rabbis, and we refer them to the rabbis that are working with them, but in all of Latin America, they are still held captive. And it's a very, very huge mitzvah to free the captive, as I'm sure you know, Don and David. So this is what it's all about, and we've got many, many different ways that people can join the activism in our organization. We have many, many ways for people to help. Certainly prayer is a big help for our people. Certainly, you know, buying products from Israel and supporting also Israel, as well as getting help for the banana seam. There's many, many ways that people can get involved and, like I say, join, you know, jump on this bandwagon of helping these people to make their comeback. And it's prophetic. I mean, it's written in the prophecies that this is going to happen, the main one being in Ovadia, chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 19. The exiles from Yerushalayim at Sepharad will inherit the cities of the Negev. So I just want to mention our website again, Don, before we close. Our new website for Ezra Lanusim, which is the name of our nonprofit here in Israel, the website is BneiAnusim.org, BneiAnusim.org, and they can read all about everything we're doing. They can even write to us and offer their help and assistance as an activist, as well as get involved in any of the aspects of our work, Don.
Beautiful. And David, before we sign off, would you like to invite our listeners around the world how they can connect with your website, or if they want to connect person with you? I don't know if you have a Facebook page, whatever. How can they follow up and become faithful patrons of the services you offer at your website?
Well, they can. There's a specific link connected to Banana Seam on your post here, so they should definitely use that in order to give Yaffa Batia credit and Banana Seam credit for that, so we can at least give them the money they deserve. But they can check us out at artisancrate.com. Actually, it's a /ref, R-E-F, / Anusim. That's going to go right to the website. And they can check us out on Facebook. They can look us up at Artisan Create Taste Israel on Facebook.
Beautiful.
Right, and
Beautiful.
The link is on our web store, on the website, BneiAnusim.org. If they go to the web store, the link is there. All the information is there.
And Lynetta, with our future broadcast, David, I don't know if you're aware, I do monthly broadcast with Yaffa Bhatia, I'll be very happy to promote your website in order to spark more faithful patrons, I'd like to call them, towards your wonderful heroic efforts, and also for the, towards the assistance of the wonderful heroic efforts of Yaffa Bhatia da Costa. So, David, thank you again for coming on today. Thank you that you were
thank
able to
much.
Switch to a landline. And Yaffa Bhatia, thank you. And Yaffa Bhatia, would you like any concluding statement before we segue out of today's program with a little music from a wonderful group from Rogers Park, Chicago, Illinois?
Well, I just want to mention and give credit where credit is due, as we're taught, you know, to do. This website was put together by Joseph Ortega in Denver, Colorado, and his team. You'll see on the leadership page of the website that Joseph is mentioned as our managing director for all media. He and his partners at Covode Films are the ones who developed the videos that we've used for the past couple of years for the rallies. And they just did an outstanding job on this website. So I just want to mention briefly Joseph Ortega and his team. And they're going to continue, of course, doing everything that they do with all media, print media, TV, radio, websites, you know, social media. He's our man, and they just do excellent, excellent work.
Baruch Hashem. Thank you very much. So that will be that concludes our submission to your ears, hearts, minds, and souls all around the world. All of you blessed with divine mission to help you get in scrimmage to understand that we are here to fulfill the Creator's plan. And may this all be fulfilled, in particularly with the assistance of brave, heroic individuals like Yaffa Bhatia da Costa and a pioneer now in the land of Israel that we've met for the first time on the show, David Mark. And may all of our efforts to empower each other be in a manner of shared hearts, which is the song we're going to share from this beautiful group of musicians called Rogers Park, from the Rogers Park section of Chicago, which is near and dear to my heart because my dear daughter lives with her husband out there for 10 months now. And may all this, may all efforts be actualized in the way of a havachad, one love, gor lechad, one that's kolonim for all of us, b'darchi nom darchi shalom, in a pleasant, peaceful way, l'amshik b'ezus Hashem yisprik, continue with the help of the Most High, to remind everyone, remind myself before anyone else, we've got to be good because Ateva Tov Lehetiv, it's the nature of the good to do good. The Creator, who is the source of all goodness, is waiting patiently for us to actualize on a microcosmic level to have a universal effect by good thought, good speech, and action, which will create divine satisfaction for our loving, merciful Creator. Take care, everyone.
Alone, I was casted aside with nothing to hide, only me. Didn't fight, only rest while I gave it my best and walked with a disagree. So I started off young, I started to run to places I thought you would find me. No, you never did find you all find places I thought I would one day climb. Now we're here under his side. He gave me the tools that would help me climb higher than my original days. You see the best path of my way. So he called me to fly, not to goodbye. You see what I can be. Now I'm out of my own, never alone. I see so. Yeah.
You showed me all the wonder of possibilities.